This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
In Napoli, where love is king, when boy meets girl, here's what they say.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella. Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a guitar and
oh, there you go, little Dino. Remember Dean Martin? I used to think when I was a little boy, I didn't know a thing about a pizza pie, but I thought it was a piece of pie. And I thought, why is he going to be here with a piece of pie? And then years later, I figured it out. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Monday morning, November the 4th. It's about exactly 1 year from today that we're going to have the election. The election for president. And I wonder, do you think Trump will be on the ballot by then? We're going to be talking in a few minutes with John Berlow of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we're going to discuss a Supreme Court case that is challenging the legality of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, an agency that some believe is not really accountable to the people anymore. So stay tuned for that. I think you're going to find it very interesting. And will the whistleblower finally come forward and testify in the so-called impeachment inquiry of Donald Trump? He says he'll only answer in writing. Is that fair? We will take a look at that as well. And Pulitzer Prize-winning author Ronan Farrow says there is credible evidence Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick. We are going to take a look at that as well. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10, I think you're going to like this one. The top 10 greatest cartoon characters. Who do you think they are? Who's number one? Who do you think? Stay tuned for that as well. By the way, we are sponsored here at Freedom Works by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It is the best haircutting salon for men in Tampa Bay, that is for sure. It is located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That is just north of State Road 580 on Aldercash Drive. They are not open on Monday, but they are open Tuesday through Saturday. So get over there, Andrew's Master Barbershop. Also, remember that we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tan Talk Network. However, you can listen to us anytime because Big Ed sets up all of our shows on our website, ourfreedomworks.com, ourfreedomworks.com. Just hit the podcast button. You can listen to us anytime, thanks to Ed. All right, we got a lot of things going on here. You remember on Friday we outed the whistleblower. We didn't out him. Real Clear Politics came up with his name, and it's a name it's hard to remember the name. It's an Italian name, though. Eric Ciaramella apparently is the whistleblower. Now, the media is still not jumping on the bandwagon about saying his name, but everybody knows who it is, apparently. And Real Clear Politics is the organization that actually published his name, which allowed us to publish his name, right? He's 33 years old. He's a registered Democrat. He's a holdover from the Obama administration. He's worked with Biden. Yes, he has. And John Brennan, the former CIA director. He's a vocal critic of Trump. So he's got everything in place for being a Trump hater, right? Okay. So now he, through his lawyers, he says he will answer questions from Republicans. However, not in person. So you got to write the questions down and probably, well, obviously send it through his lawyer since he's technically not been outed yet, although he has. So the lawyers will then take a look at the questions. Can you imagine the kind of answer you're going to get through your lawyers?
What is he afraid of?
I know. He's afraid of this. He'd be tripped up in a one-on-one discussion in front of a camera and say something he didn't want to say.
Well,
which is, is called saying, it's, you know, when you accidentally say the truth?
Yeah, that's what I mean. If you don't lie, you don't have to have a good memory.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I like? I like to talk to people on the street that absolutely know nothing of what's going on. And I was approached. No, I'm serious.
I know.
I was getting some work done to my car on Saturday. And this gentleman was standing next to me, an African older man. And he said to me, just out of the blue, he says, you think they got enough on this guy to impeach him? I said, enough what? And he said, enough evidence. I said, evidence of what? And he said that he said that stuff on the phone. I said, do you realize what their evidence, so-called evidence, is? I said, you realize that this is a guy that heard it from someone else, supposedly heard him say it. And the man looked at me and said, are you serious? He wasn't on the other line? I said, no, he supposedly heard it from someone else. And he said, you kidding me? That's awfully weak.
Exactly.
He goes, I just learned something today. I said, see? He goes, why didn't the media tell us that? They don't want to.
Well,
just Joe Blow off the street.
They want to say that even though he heard a second or third hand, that somehow his credibility should not be diminished. But, well, of course it should. It would never hold up in court.
It doesn't. Hearsay does not hold up. You cannot tell a judge or a jury what you heard. It's hearsay. It's inadmissible evidence. So why is it evidence in something they're spending billions of dollars on?
I think it's very weak.
I mean, if they had a tape recording, a video recording, something, not just some guy says, I heard it, take my word for it.
Well, the real answer is they're out to get him. That's the real answer. The answer is that they're trying to find something they can cobble together to get him out of office. That's the real answer. The answer is that it's all Democrat. There wasn't one Republican that voted to continue the impeachment inquiry, not one. And two Democrats also voted against it. So it's certainly not bipartisan. And you never go anywhere without bipartisan support. At least in the Clinton impeachment, there was bipartisan support in Congress for an impeachment trial. They had enough Democrats and Republicans that agreed that there was something there to talk about.
This guy's awfully weak. If even Stormy Daniels could come out and say something, you know, and not have to go through someone else.
I just go back to the way they treated Justice Kavanaugh, because here was a guy that had like an unblemished record, and they go all the way back to high school to find something that nobody can even prove he did. So if they are willing to do that to a guy like Kavanaugh, you can imagine what they would be willing to do to a flawed man like Donald Trump, right? Who's president. I mean, that's really where it is. Anyway, President Trump is piling on with Republicans in rejecting the whistleblower's offer to respond in writing to questions from Republican lawmakers. He wants this guy to appear in person as part of this impeachment inquiry. Well, you know that this guy is probably not going to do that. Now, the whistleblower's attorney said over the weekend that his client would provide sworn written answers under penalty of perjury. This whistleblower's attorney says he's going around the Democrats who don't want this guy to even write answers out. And so Trump tweets this morning, the whistleblower gave false information and dealt with corrupt politician Schiff, as in Adam. He says he must be brought forward to testify. Trump says, written answers not acceptable. Where is the second whistleblower? He disappeared after I released the transcript. Does he even exist? Where is the informant? Con. So that's what he wrote. And We'll see where all of this goes. That's not gonna hold any water.
I think we should double down as Americans and tell these guys, if you're so sure that you can get an impeachment on this man, fine. If you can't, you must reimburse the Americans for whatever this whole thing has cost us.
Yeah.
If you're so sure, double down.
Good point. And by the way, Ed, you talked about the man on the street. Meet the Press took to the street to ask voters in early primary states what they thought about the Democrats' efforts to impeach Trump. Here's what they said. We went out and tried to find some voters to talk about impeachment. We had to bring it up to them. Here's what they told us. This is host Chuck Todd, by the way, who does the Meet the Press. So they go to this one guy. He happened to be a Minnesota voter. He says, I think it's a waste of time. You have a bunch of kids fighting and not accomplishing what they are elected for. So they moved on. And the next guy was a New Hampshire voter. And he said, Americans should rely on the country's system of checks and balances to resolve the issue fairly. Quote, I think we have a system of checks and balances, and the way it should work is that the House and the Senate should do what is set out. Then they went to a South Carolina voter. She said she read the transcript, and there was absolutely nothing concerning to me, she said. From one president to another, it was absolutely appropriate. Now, this is making Meet the Press, I think they would want to pull the mic away and go back into their truck at
yeah,
this point.
Yeah, run,
right?
Run.
Right. Then they get back to the studio. When the panel returned, New York Times reporter Helen Cooper challenged the validity of the montage. She says, I wonder, who are all the voters that you're talking to? Because I'm so inundated. Whenever anybody finds out I'm a reporter, all they want to ask me about is impeachment and what's going to happen. So there you go. The man on the street and the woman on the street what?
I like the ones where they asked people, what is he being impeached for? And the one said the abuse of Twitter.
Yes. I tell you what, you got to hand it to Trump. He always gets in front of the news, even if it takes an impeachment. Okay, let us switch gears. We're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau with John Berlow.
You knew Peggy Sue, then you know why I feel blue without Peggy. My Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, Gallies. I love you, Peggy Sue.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you.
We are back on a Monday morning and delighted to have back a buddy of ours, John Berlow of the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about an agency that probably, John, most people aren't even very familiar with, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and of course, talk a little bit about the Supreme Court now going to hear about whether or not it's a legal entity. But first of all, John, if you don't mind, what is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau exactly?
Well, it's something that community banks and credit unions were actually very familiar with because of the crushing burdens that it put on under the Obama administration and his director, Richard Cordray, a protege of Elizabeth Warren, who was actually the architect of this, that was the idea that was rammed through in Dodd-Frank. And even if consumers aren't familiar with it, it's affecting their abilities to get loans, financial products, and, you know, improve their standard of living, as well as was. Now, it's been much improved under President Trump's appointee, Kathy Graninger, slowing job growth in these markets.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, it has a nice sounding name. It's going to be there to protect consumers. Somehow, consumers need protection through the government, and this is an agency accountable to the executive department that is going to do it. I always smell a rat when you
problem. It's really not accountable to anyone. It doesn't get its appropriations from Congress. It gets them from a fixed percentage of what the Federal Reserve gets, the seniorage from selling dollars, so Congress can't, you know, hold it accountable through the appropriations.
Can't pull money away from it. Yeah.
Right. Can't pull money away from it. And also the president can appoint but cannot remove except for very strong circumstances. And it, unlike there are some other agencies where also the president is restricted removing, but those are multi-member bipartisan headed agencies like the SEC and FCC with five commissioners. With this, there's just one person, like it's in a cabinet-level department, but yet the president has no power to remove them for their five-year tenure.
So the Supreme Court has agreed to take up whether or not the whole thing is even constitutional. I guess CEI, your organization, is somewhat involved in bringing this case. Is that correct?
Well, we're certainly supportive. We filed the first case, State National Bank involving the State National Bank of Big Spring in Texas, a community bank in Big Spring, Texas, that was kind of crushed by this burden, and ultimately wasn't successful. The Supreme Court didn't grant, didn't agree to hear the case. You know, they agreed to hear have thousands of cases before them and only hear a couple, I think less than 100. But others, including this case, have used our line of argument, both about the lack of appropriations and the fact that this person, the head of it, is not subject to presidential oversight, and that that's a violation of the Constitution's separation of powers and appointments clause, that the president has to have a authority of officers in the executive departments. Those are the measures of accountability there. And the Supreme Court has agreed to take this case.
Yeah, you know, it's very very interesting. I know what you're saying. What you're saying is, we voted for Trump or the president or whatever, and therefore through our voting for the president, if he's got that particular group on his leash, we have an indirect control. But if this group is allowed to run around rogue without accountability to either the Congress or the executive branch, then who knows what they would do since they're not accountable. Is that kind of what it is?
Yes. I mean, what's been called the deep state or the administrative state, you know, if they're not accountable, I mean, the president and Congress aren't perfect, but they're the ones we elect, and if a government agency is not accountable to them or lacks, you know, mechanisms, has weak mechanisms of accountability, then who exactly are they accountable to? You know,
right.
No one but themselves, and that's the problem. That's the problem our framers were looking at with the swarms of officers mentioned in the Declaration of Independence from England. So this is a problem that has to be fixed.
Right. We're talking with John Berlow. He is a senior fellow at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute, and they are very much following a case that the Supreme Court is going to hear on the constitutionality of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. John, there seems like there's a disconnect all of a sudden, not only with this particular organization, but even some of the other bureaus. I don't know. Is there a trend with bureaucracy, or with with administrative bureaus to start to separate themselves from, uncouple themselves from responsibility for what they're doing. You know what I mean by that? Is this just one, or is there a lot of them doing the same kind of thing?
There is no agency with this much power, very few agencies actually with this much power and this lack of accountability. Just when Justice Kavanaugh was a judge on the D.C. Circuit, and he ruled in one of these cases, he's saying no one is more powerful than the director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau except for the president of the United States. But yes, we're seeing with the Public Company Accounting Oversight Bureau, like created by Sarbanes-Oxley, where it was an agency just as almost as big as the SEC, appointed by the SEC, where again the SEC lacked removal power. And we actually were on that Supreme Court case in 2010 where they didn't rule, they ruled 5-4 that they could be removed by the SEC, but not that they could be, that they had to be appointed by the president. So we're seeing this. That the good news is that the courts are now trying to hold the administrative state accountable, with the Fifth Circuit in Texas saying the agency that oversees Fannie and Freddie, that having one director not removable by the president is unconstitutional, mm-hmm. too. So that's sort of on a parallel track with this. So we're seeing the in cases where you have they're clearly lack accountability even more than the traditional independent agencies. You're seeing courts finally exercising some scrutiny.
When do you think they're going to rule on this? Do you have any idea? Going to be this coming year or what?
I mean, they're going to rule on this, I believe, this term. I can't, say exactly when. I haven't seen a okay. schedule. In fact, when they do, when they get close, I can come back in and talk to you about this. But they're going to rule, I'd say, in the next they have to hear the arguments first.
Right.
Hear those in the next couple of months, and then they may rule on this by. They need to rule on cases by next June. So we're going to see. We're going to see that. I think, and we'll see.
So it looks like if they rule in June, then the decisions come out like in early fall.
No, the rule
would come
June,
out right
it
away.
It comes out right away. Well.
When they make the ruling, okay, that makes sense.
They have to issue it by June.
Okay. Put your crystal ball hat on here. What do you think? Is the Supreme Court going to curtail the power of this agency or not?
Well, I can't. I'm not a psychic, unfortunately. But I think there's an indication based on what some of the justices have ruled before, like in the PCO Bay case, the Sarbanes-Oxley. The question is, how far do they go? Do they just say that it's what they call severable, and that therefore, from now everything's the same, but the president can now remove? Or do they say, or do they overturn actual decisions the agency made because it was unconstitutionally structured, and therefore the people before the agency, the community banks, credit unions didn't get due process,
right? But
do they throw out the agency and say Congress has to create a new one and everything goes back to the way it was before the agency?
It's hard to unring the bell, isn't it? It's hard to unring the bell. So to go back and look at cases that have already been decided, very interesting.
Yes.
Well, John, thank you so very much for coming on, kind of telling us a little bit about something that's probably more important than the publicity that it gets. I know we'll be talking with you again down the road.
Okay, so it's always a pleasure. CEI.org is our website.
CEI.org it is. It's a great one, too, and you're one of the best. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Paul.
All right. John Berlow. All right. God, we got so much to talk about here. I can't wait. And we got our buddy Angelo, the master barber's master brother, who's going to be talking to us about what's going on here with impeachment talk and Elizabeth Warren and all kinds of things. So we'll be talking with him on the other side of the break. We'll be back.
Every night I hope and pray a dream lover will come my way. A girl to hold in my arms and know the magic of her charms, 'cause
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, did you know there's a live psychology talk show Thursday and Friday at noon where you can call in and get free guidance and also learn several different topics relating to ending the stigma on mental health? It's called Moments of Clarity on WTAN 1340 AM. It's with licensed therapist Tiffany Warner, who will try to end the stigma on mental health. But the only way you can do that is to listen to Moments of Clarity Thursday and Friday at noon on WTAN 1340 AM, the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hit the road. Hey, we're back for the final segment here on a Monday morning, February. Wow. I would hope. It's not. It's November. November the 4th. And we're delighted to have Angelo Ceresi, brother of the master barber himself, Andrew Ceresi, to join us, as he does whenever possible. And first of all, Angelo, condolences on the passing of your mom.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know that you and Andrew got a chance to get together. It's always, you know, it's interesting how families get together, usually in incidents like this. Otherwise, we don't get together and see them. But
yeah, it's been great having him up here, you know.
Yeah.
He got in here late Saturday afternoon.
I see. And
yeah.
The services held over the
week? The wake services, the funeral home is today from 3 to 7.
Okay.
And then the funeral mass is tomorrow at 9:30 in the morning, with then to the graveside service.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, again, our deep thoughts and prayers are with you on that.
I apologize for last Monday night calling in. I was busy. I totally forgot.
You know? My goodness. With all of that going on? And you have to apologize? I don't think so. I don't think so. But, boy, do we have a lot of things going on right now, my friend. I don't know where to start with you on it, but let's first of all mention that there's a new poll out. It's a Fox News poll. And I never know where they get these numbers, but apparently Joe Biden leads Donald Trump by 12 points in the latest Fox News poll, 51 to 39. Now, I've always thought that numbers like this absolutely dissipate as you get closer and closer, and the real stuff, the real facts start to come out. People, it's easy to, I think, dismiss a president this far back. Having said that, do you think any Democrat right now, any Democrat can beat Donald Trump?
No. I do not.
Okay.
They had Hillary Clinton leading Donald Trump almost through Election Day.
Yes.
And look what happened.
Exactly. Not only, speaking of Hillary Clinton, do you know that if she came into the race right now, according to something, here it is. It says here, Democratic pollster Chris Anderson says this: if Hillary Clinton were to enter the race, she would likely do so near the top of the pack. I mean, this is why I always, Hillary Clinton, she drops herself into a race at the last minute, and she's going to go right up to the top. You got about 12 or 13 Democrats fighting tooth and nail to get 2 or 3%. And then somebody comes along like that. Or if the Michelle Obama, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or if Oprah Winfrey, all of a sudden, they're right at the top. So what does that say to me? It says, these people that are voting, is there any depth to them? Are they just, some name that they know, and all of a sudden, oh yeah, I know that person. Yeah, I'll vote for them. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Crazy.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, I had somebody, I get these calls all the time, these calls where people say, hey, we got this for you, or Grandpa, I'm in jail, I need this and that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I get these calls, like these crank calls all the time. The other day, I had like a, somebody said they were a pollster and everything like that. Who are you going to vote for? And what are you, and what do you rate it as? I said, well, I'm an independent. I'm not. I just told them that. And that's what people tell them.
I know. They don't know the truth. They don't even buy the polls that they are responding to sometimes.
The thing is, number one, this is supposed to be a secret ballot and everything, right?
Right.
And then, well, who are you going to vote for? I'm not going to tell them who I vote for. That's my personal thing, I still believe in that. Even though I'm a registered Republican, and I will vote for Donald Trump. And, but a lot of these people, they don't tell them who they're voting for.
And another thing about all of that is they say this is a nationwide poll. But then when they go to the specific states that either Trump or a Democratic presidential candidate has to win, Trump shows up as doing much better. As an example, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Ohio. If you go to any of those states and you do a one-on-one, all of a sudden Trump is right there, either ahead or tied. So,
right.
It's the Electoral College.
You have to win each state.
That's
how it was set up. These people that say, the popular vote. Well, popular vote goes for governor and senator and this and that.
Yeah,
but for president, you have to win the states.
Right.
And because you're representing the whole country. And people just don't get that, They want you to believe, like, well, I won him by 3 million votes. It was Hillary the other day, right? Well, honey, that's not how you go for president. Mm-hmm. If you think that's what it is, then you shouldn't be president.
Right.
You know the game. And then, the media, they'll tell you, well, he's ahead of this, or she's ahead in this part of the country. You know something? The media has always wanted to be the kingmaker. It goes way back when the press was, really big. The newspapers and everything. They wanted the kingmaker here in the country to coronate our president. And that's not how it works. They've been doing that.
Mm-hmm.
They all have their own agenda, who they're pushing to be the president. Just like the media was really pushing Barack Obama over Hillary Clinton back in that election cycle. You can see it.
Right. Right.
They were pushing him because they wanted him to be president. They wanted the first black president, and they were pushing it. The last time they were pushing, they wanted a woman to be president.
Mm-hmm.
They were pushing Hillary Clinton. And this time, they despise Trump because he's cleaning the swamp and he's showing the public what the media really is.
As I said to your brother on Friday, I think the impeachment push is dissipating a little bit. I don't know if you feel that, and maybe I'm looking at it from rose-colored glasses or whatever you want to call it, but there's a feeling. I think because after the vote to continue the inquiry, not one Republican in Congress voted to continue it. Not one. And two Democrats in Congress voted with the Republicans not to continue it. So there's no bipartisan support for this thing.
Right. The thing is, the Republicans are strictly behind the president, and the Democrats are strictly behind, except for two, behind Nancy Pelosi. And it goes to show you that the whole Congress has to be part of it, and they're not.
So do you feel it really is? Let me just put this question to you. And by the way, we're talking with Angelo Ceresi, brother of the Master Barber, who is up in New York State. Do you think that it will really come to an impeachment vote, or do you think that they will not even get that far?
Well, here's my feeling. When Attorney General Barr and the federal prosecutor, Durham, I think his name is?
Yeah, John Durham.
I think you're going to be seeing some stuff coming out being leaked, that there's going to be some indictments. And when that starts coming out, you will see this impeachment thing blow over.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are actually going to see that this was a coup to unseat this president, and by our own people. And I think the American people will stand behind this president because he's been telling the truth all along, what's been going on with the deep state and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've even heard Democrats come out. I've listened to the... do you ever listen to C-SPAN?
Yeah, sometimes, once in a while.
I listen to that show they do in the morning where they have call-ins.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard a bunch of Democrats call in and say, you know, I'm a registered Democrat, and I don't think this is fair. And I really do think that, and I know Democrats as a whole will support Trump being out of office. They don't like him. But it's going to be the independents that are going to shape the real independents, the ones that will vote for a Democrat from time to time and will vote for a Republican from time to time.
Oh, absolutely. The independents will carry things because the Democrats, they got their base. Republicans have their base. I understand the Democrats supposedly outnumber Republican registration-wise.
Yes,
but
nationwide.
When it comes right down to it, the people who really, Democrat and Republicans, will sometimes switch back and forth, you know? But I think the independents or the people who really know what's going on and see what's happening will vote for President Trump.
Not only...
If you go on Facebook, everybody, you know, I just read all these stuff that people say. It's all unfair what's going on. Now, Adam Schiff, I don't think he reads anything. He's so hell-bent on getting this president out of office that he can't see that the American people really don't want this. And these polls that say that the Americans are for impeachment and removing him from out of office, I just don't see it. I can't see where they're getting their information from.
Yeah.
Because everybody I talk to are, you know, going to the Democratic Party.
If you wandered around the inner city streets of New York, you would hear a completely different viewpoint.
Right? Oh, I have a friend of mine. He's a lawyer. And we were bandmates, you know, and we're still friends and everything like that. And he's moved up here from when he was a young kid, but he's a diehard Democrat from New York City. In fact, his sister, I guess, is a bigwig like either NBC or CBS down there in New York City, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's a diehard diehard Democrat. He'll come up with all this stuff about Adam Schiff being true and this and that. You know, I'll say, Steve, can't you just see? I says, you're a lawyer. Don't you see this guy's a crook? He's lying. You know? I says, tell me, you've never lied or embellished like this guy ever does? You guys are lawyers. You know?
Well, they all do it. Let's be honest. Trump embellishes all the time. Every time he talks about something, it's the greatest that ever happened. Let's be honest.
Oh, that's true. Everybody does that. Human nature.
Yeah, but Trump really does it.
Yeah, he does.
Trump really does it.
He sells himself. He knows how to
sell himself. He puts himself up on a pedestal. And I'm a guy that's, you know, that pushes, you know, Trump's reelection. But he puts himself up on a pedestal and he says, have you ever seen a greater president? I mean, he almost says that. I think only George Washington may have a little bit higher niche on the pedestal. But so, okay, we know
what
he's
like. Trump is that, you know, he connects to the people, I guess.
Exactly.
You know, he just, you know, hey.
He's
you
got
know,
a twinkle in his eye when he says this. He's got a sense of humor.
Right.
I think that's one of the things. Now, I want to switch gear real quickly.
Okay, go ahead.
We've been talking about impeaching somebody. Bill Clinton was impeached, although he was not found guilty in the Senate.
Right.
But now, author and journalist Ronan Farrow says that Clinton was credibly accused of raping Juanita Broderick. Do you remember that situation?
Yes.
He has come out. He was on Bill Maher's show. And to his credit, and Ronan Farrow is a liberal and worked at NBC, and he's I believe he's the son of Mia Farrow. Anyway, he says that there is enough evidence that they ought to open up the investigation again on Juanita Broderick. I always felt bad for her. I would see her on an occasional program, and nobody was supporting her. Nobody. Nobody.
And well, Hillary Clinton was calling her a liar.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
She was downgrading all these women.
So, do you think in the Me Too era that people would want somebody like Hillary Clinton and her husband to get within 40 miles of the White House again? I just don't see it.
No, I don't believe that. I don't think they would. Not in today's day and age with that hashtag me too.
I wonder if they're going to open up and invest. Because, you know, when you rape somebody, there is no statute of limitations.
Right. Well, you know what? Epstein had a lot of stuff on everybody, on a lot of people. He's no longer around, isn't
he? Yeah, we're talking about the guy that was bringing, by the way, Bill Clinton and many, many other celebrities to his little Bahamas island, right?
Right, and if you believe he committed suicide, yeah. I will sell you the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah, that's another thing.
But, you know, I mean, whether they open it up, maybe they will. It should be opened up, shouldn't it?
I think it should be. I remember a woman, it sticks in my mind, this is years ago, when we didn't have Fox News and some of the other conservative outlets.
Uh-huh.
There was a woman by the name of Lisa Myers on NBC. And she went on the air and she said, you know, and this is when you only had a one-sided view of everything. She said, we looked into this whole Juanita Broderick, and there is legitimate concern that there was that it was credible. I heard her like one time say that on NBC, and then I never heard from her again on that. So today, he wouldn't have gotten away with it, I don't think, but he was able to get away with things like that back then, you know?
Back in the 90s, yeah.
Exactly. Well, my friend, it is always a pleasure to hear
your
wonderful voice. And again, our condolences on the passing of your mom. I know you'll be there with Andrew this weekend and this Monday, et cetera. But we will talk hopefully with you again next week, my friend.
Absolutely. I'm always here. I'm always willing to call in.
Thank you, Angelo.
Thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure. Okay, the Master Barber's Master Brother, Angelo. We're going to take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, the top 10 greatest cartoon characters.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Hi there, I'm Dr. John.
And I'm Dr. Lisa.
Do you have medical questions you never get to ask?
Now you can ask us.
After many years of caring for children and families, we've learned that the best informed families are also the healthiest.
Are you saying knowledge is power, Dr. John?
I am, Dr. Lisa, and since you're the smart one, I hope you'll share some knowledge with me and our listeners.
Let's do this then.
Okay, we hope you'll join us every Monday at noon right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for the Drs. John and Lisa Show.
Listen online at tantalk1340.com.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back, and we're going to get to the top 10 greatest cartoon characters of all time in just a few minutes. But before we do that, I wanted to talk with our sports guru, Big Ed, because we got a couple of things going on, Ed, I wanted to ask you about. One is the Bucks game with Seattle Seahawks. But before that, if I might, I read here where after 21 games, the head coach of the Florida State Seminoles has been fired. Did you know about that?
Yes.
I mean, did they give this guy enough time?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
I When they hired him, I said, what and why?
Willie Taggart.
Yes, the former USF coach. Remember, he went to Oregon.
From South Florida.
Yes.
And then he went to Oregon.
Yes. And he didn't do well there, and they brought him in to Seminole, and I said, he's not going to work out. He's just not going to work out. He's a poor man's Tony Dungy. And that attitude with 18, 19, and 20-year-olds doesn't work. They know it all, and you have to be firm. He's not a firm coach. And I said from the start, in 2 years, I'll tell you so, they're going to fire him. And I believe he still had 2 or 3 years left on his contract.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
He's owed millions of dollars. And when the boosters say enough is enough, they pull the plug.
So he gets fired right after losing to Miami. Is it because he was playing Miami? They lost 27-10, or do you think?
The bigger problem was hurting recruiting. Nobody wanted to go and play for him. That's the big. You're in a downward spiral for the last couple of years or so. You're rebuilding. Nobody wanted to play for him.
Okay.
I mean, back in the Bobby Bowden days and stuff, they had their pick and choice of athletes that wanted to come and play. But nobody wanted to play for him, and it was starting to hurt.
And they like to be seen in the top 10, top 25, or whatever it is, and they haven't been there recently.
No.
So he's gone. Do you have any idea who they're going to hire?
You know, I don't know. It's whoever the boosters decide on, to tell you the truth. It's not the AD, the athletic director, and it's not the school itself. It's who the boosters want. Something about, I want to say Bob Stoops' son or somebody like that they're looking at.
You know, it's a cruel business, isn't it? You get fired in the middle of the season in particular. It's even more cruel. It's, you know, they don't even, I mean, Florida State's not going anywhere this year, so why not allow him to finish out the season and then fire?
Because it was starting to hurt attendance. And unless people see change, they're already saying, listen, we're not going to go to a bowl game. You know, we've got 4 or 5 games left or whatever it is, and that's going to be it. And why would I spend my money on that?
Yeah.
But at least the university shows them change is coming.
Yeah.
You know, this is the way the fans protest is they stay out of the stadium. And then finally, it takes a while, but then finally the owners get, or the school gets the message.
Fair enough, yeah. Okay. And in overtime, a heartbreaking loss by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to the Seattle Seahawks yesterday afternoon, 40-34. Did you have a chance to see any of that?
Oh, they played yesterday? Was that yesterday?
Yes.
Oh.
You didn't watch it at all?
Yeah, I watched it.
I mean, I had they were up 21-7 or something like that. And then of course, the jinx was that the announcer then said, well, there was a time when they were up a couple of years ago, 21-0, and they ended up losing.
Yeah.
Well, look what happened again.
Yep.
So I was watching your buddy, Jameis Winston, and I thought he actually looked pretty good for a lot of the game. What do you think?
I give him a B.
Well, good.
Yeah, he fumbled out of nowhere. You know, he dropped back the pass, put his arm back, and the ball squirted out.
Well, you know, that happens sometimes.
It happens, but it happens to him more than anybody else.
How about his relationship with that great receiver? Is it Evans?
Yeah, Mike Evans, yeah.
Mike Evans, terrific.
Yeah, but you got to have another guy, too. You got to spread it around a little bit. You know, they did a thing. You know, Cameron Brady just re-signed a new deal. He's making the way his pace on pace right now.
And Cameron Brady is who?
Is the tight end. He's making $500,000 per catch. His catches are so low. That's if you break it down right now, he's making $500,000 a catch.
Well, I'll be much less generous. I will take $250,000 per catch. If they wouldn't mind. See, I come cheap.
I'll take one good catch and one good hit and lay on the field till they scrape
there
me
you
off
go, there
for $500,000.
Fair enough, my friend. Okay, it is time, Ed. You got to get over on the drums. And we're going to have Ed try and guess who the greatest cartoon character is. But we got the top.
I already know.
Oh, he already know. Did you peek?
No, I didn't peek. I feel I know.
You feel you know. Good. All right, let's find out if you really know. This comes from liveabout.com, all right? That went ahead and decided to do an extensive survey, or whatever, into the top 10 greatest cartoon characters. And without further ado, here we go. Number 10. Rocky and...
Hey!
Oh, well.
A little theme music. Go ahead.
A little cartoon theme music. Number 10 is Rocky and Bullwinkle. Do you remember them?
Yeah, I do.
Rocky the Flying Squirrel and Bullwinkle the Moose.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody enjoyed watching that little program. Did you know that Rocky's voice was a woman?
No, I didn't know that.
It was a woman that did the voice for Rocky.
Hmm.
Yeah, believe it or not. All right. Okay, number 9. Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah.
Do you remember him?
Never caught him.
He never caught him. He would go after the Roadrunner, but some of the most hilarious ways that poor Wile E. got his comeuppance, right? That was good. I agree. Number 8. Popeye.
Oh, yeah.
Popeye the Sailor Man.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about with me about their famous chicken place, or whatever you want to call it, just coincidentally. But the spinach-loving Popeye. All right. Number 7. The Grinch. Now, the Grinch wasn't an ongoing...
That's seasonal.
Exactly. And I found it to be very interesting, but it has become such a favorite.
Mm-hmm.
It actually came out in 1966. It was on television on a holiday special, and the voice of the Grinch was the great Boris Karloff. All right. Number 6. Fred Flintstone.
Mm-hmm.
Remember him, don't you?
Yep.
Caveman. He and his buddy...
Fred.
Yep.
Exactly. Wilma.
Wilma. That's right. Barney Rubble. Remember mm-hmm. Barney Rubble? Okay. Number 5. Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown.
Good old Charlie Brown. Peanuts. Mm-hmm. He made his debut in a comic strip called Little Folks, believe it or not, in 1948.
That's also kind of a seasonal one, too. They have the... October, they have the Halloween,
yep.
Thanksgiving, and Christmas.
They do. They do. But he became a beloved little character on television. Number 4, Bart Simpson.
You know, that thing annoyed me.
It did?
It just annoyed me. I never watched it.
Really? Now, Bart was the son.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't watch it, so I don't know. Number 3. And this one could have been number 1. We'll see what you think of it. Mickey Mouse.
Okay, yeah, because it's been around so long. Yeah.
Mickey Mouse and Walt Disney go hand in hand. Mickey Mouse Club. And he made his debut, did you know, in 1928, Steamboat Willie. It was the first talking cartoon.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 2. Well, my friend, Ed, if you don't like Bart Simpson, you ain't going to like this one. Homer Simpson. Homer Simpson is second.
Are you kidding me?
No, that's Courtney. Well, look, everybody's got their favorites, right? It's all in the eyes of the beholder.
I think, yeah. Now, he's the father, right?
Yeah. Did you know that they made their debut on the Tracy Ullman Show in 1987?
I think we have him here.
Joe!
That's him.
That sounds right.
Joe!
Yeah, that's him. That's him. Okay, finally, Ed, who do you think? Number 1.
I'm going to go with the only one I think it can be is probably Bugs Bunny.
And the number 1 cartoon character is... What's up, Doc? Bugs Bunny. Is there a more famous rabbit in the world than Bugs Bunny? He made his debut in a 1940 Warner Brothers cartoon called Wild Hare, and he looked a heck of a lot different at that point. But you are right, sir.
And you nailed it. And Daffy Duck goes with him.
Daffy, and I kind of like Donald Duck, too, as a matter of fact, speaking about ducks. But anyway, thanks for being with us. We'll be back on Wednesday, 10 a.m. Always remember, freedom works.